Genesis 49, we'll begin reading in verse 22. Genesis 49 and in verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. This morning, God, our prayer is that you would speak to us through the life of Joseph. God, our prayer is that all of us will leave here desiring to be fruitful as Joseph was. God, I pray that each of us would put out any mental distraction so that the Holy Spirit can speak to us loudly and clearly through the preaching of your word. I pray for those that would be here this morning, Father, who do not yet know you, that today that they would realize the wonderful strength that can be found in you. God, for those Christians who are fruitful, I pray that they too would find continued strength in following your perfect will for their lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we continue our spiritual journey, seeking to be more like Christ, anyone who's been saved any time at all can quickly testify to the fact that it is not an easy path. But nevertheless, it most certainly is a rewarding one. This morning we have before us the example of a man of God who enjoyed the strength of the Lord and was made fruitful because of his faithful dependence upon God's strength. You may be looking at your life and thinking you haven't had any major fall. Perhaps you would say, by the grace of God, I am seeking to do all that God says, albeit somewhat imperfectly. What encouragement or admonition do we find in the scriptures for you? You see, this morning we have here a wonderful case study of strength for the fruitful. Strength for the fruitful. It's interesting as we understand here what is taking place, that Jacob is going through all of his children and is sharing with them really a blessing, and is at the same time somewhat speaking regarding the future, reflecting back on their lives, thinking of the struggles that they have encountered, and also seeking to give them some encouragement. But when we talk here about Joseph, we realize that he uses a description really that very accurately paints a picture of his entire life, and one that I think ought to paint a picture of our lives today for those of us who truly desire to be fruitful Christians for our Lord. We talk about being fruitful, we realize here that he points out that there was a reason as to why he was fruitful. It says that he is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. You see, the Christian that enjoys life the most is not the one who is merely going through the motions, but it's the one who is enjoying a life of productivity and of fruitfulness in the eyes of the Lord. And you see, you can be in church even Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and still not be a fruitful Christian. You can go through all of the motions and still not truly have the fruit of the Spirit as laid out for us in Galatians chapter 5, characterizing your life. And I think it does all of us much good to reflect back on our lives from time to time and say, God, how could I have more fruit in my life? You think of the fall and of the springtime and oftentimes the pruning that has to take place on your trees and some of your shrubs. To be able to not have the, as we had at our last house, the branches go over the attic and then provide a beautiful gateway for all of the squirrels in the neighborhood to find very warm accommodations throughout those cold winter months in the warm insulation in your attic. So you cut back some of those branches, but you also realize that part of cutting back the branches means that next year it's going to be able to grow a little bit more. It's going to be a little bit stronger tree. And so we think of our lives today, and it ought to be that every single one of us says, yes, the reason that I am in God's house this morning is because I want to be more fruitful than what I already am. I desire to be what God wants me to be. And the way in which we are fruitful is by finding the proper location. He says, even a fruitful bough by a well. I would ask you, where have you parked your spiritual tree? Where have you planted that spiritual tree in your life? Are you seeking to be by the Word of God? Are you really seeking to find your daily sustenance from His Word? Or is this something that you just take a drink from casually from time to time? You know, sometimes there are those that would come to church on a Sunday morning. They may carry in their hands a Bible, but they don't come back to this well tomorrow. They won't come back to this well Tuesday. They won't come back Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Perhaps they'll come back next Sunday when they pull it off the shelf again and decide, well, it's time to go back to church. Let's see what's here. Turn with me, if you would, to the first psalm, a familiar psalm to many of us. The first psalm. He says, you are a fruitful bough by a well. Here in Psalm 1, as we find David describing for us the blessed man of the Lord, and it says in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If you're a child of God this morning, what God is really saying here is that you, if you are by the water, if you are by the well, you will be prospering. But he's not talking about a material prosperity, but a spiritual prosperity. You will be spiritually fruitful. There will be things in your life that you will be able to point to and say, see, this is where God is working. This is where God is pruning. This is where God is pricking my conscience and causing me to be drawn closer to Him, to be made stronger in Him, to be all that God wants me to be. But you know, sometimes we find those who would try and tell us that, no, the Bible is like some type of a lucky rabbit's foot, that as long as you carry it with you, everything is going to be fine. You know what happens sometimes to us spiritually is we can be guilty of being just like the horse, that you can bring to water, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to drink. You know, you can come to the house of God this morning and you can come even somewhat thirsty and yet still refuse to drink from the waters of the well. Just as much as tomorrow, if you do open your Bible and you do look into God's Word, you can kind of zone out and read through the Word of God and yet not find spiritual strength and sustenance from it if you are not desirous of allowing for God to speak to you. But Joseph was one whom we think of as being fruitful, whose branches run over the wall. You know what is so wonderful when you think about the Christian life? When we use this word, we think of the abundant Christian life. That's not just some glib adjective that is attributed to the Word of God. But really, it ought to be a descriptive term that could be used of every child of God who is desirous of being made stronger in the Lord, who is desirous of really having an impact on this world and saying, God, I am going to plant my life by the Word of God, by the well of strength, by the spiritual sustenance that is right here, so that God, you will do a work in and through me. And that I will be able to go far above and beyond what would be a life of mediocre spirituality. You know, when we think about this, it's wonderful that God does give us many who are abundantly fruitful in their spiritual lives. God does show to us those whose faith continues to grow, those who can go through difficult times and still continue to be fruitful even in less than ideal circumstances. Now, when we think of Joseph, we realize here that he was one who certainly knew what difficulties were all about. If you were to try and paint a rosy picture, Joseph would not be the first name that would come to mind. He was not one whose life was characterized by all types of just easy, smooth living. No, he knew quite a bit of difficulties. In fact, when we think of everything that Joseph went through, it could cause some people, if they didn't read through the whole story, to run from Christianity and to say, I don't want to have anything about it. But you see, when your bough, when the branches of your life truly are planted by that well, when you are deriving that spiritual strength from that well, then when the battle comes, you're able to go forward and you're able to continue to produce fruit in your spiritual life. It's interesting now as he talks about the battle that he found himself in verse 23, it says, the archers have sorely grieved him. The word archer there on the surface doesn't necessarily explain to us what it really means. It means a master of arrows. A master of arrows. And that is those who were after Joseph, those who were attacking him, those who were engaging him in battle, knew exactly what they were doing. It was not some coincidental attack that was placed upon him. You know, when we think of the way in which his life played out before us, going back and you think there of Genesis chapter 37, when they realized there his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, the Bible says in Genesis 37 and verse 4, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. We think of going on farther as he was following the mission and realizing that they decided to gather him up and in verse 24 took him and cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. And then later on in verse 28, there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. See, when we think of the attacks that he found, it was not an exciting time. I'm sure when we talk about the way in which God used Joseph, you know, none of us would relish being thrown into a pit. But the key is, through all of the spiritual battle that took place in his life, he continually remembered the source of his strength. The Bible says in verse 24, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. There certainly have been others who've been attacked in the scriptures. We think of Job himself, the one who knew temptations and trials, perhaps greater than anyone, at least in the Old Testament. And Job says in Job 29 and verse 20, my glory was fresh in me and my bow was renewed in my hand. You see, when we talk about spiritual battle, the spiritual warfare, it requires the child of God to put on, as we said in great deliberation at the beginning of this year, the armor of God. You and I cannot engage in spiritual warfare and expect to be victorious if we are not continually finding our source of strength in God. And I don't mean in religion. I don't mean in a simple system of beliefs on the surface level. But I'm talking about where it goes far beyond your head and reaches your heart and truly transforms your life so that you can be all that God wants you to be. But the spiritual battle. Any of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior can testify just this last week to spiritual battles that we have all encountered in a host of distinct fashions. You know, we think of our adversary, the devil, whom Peter tells us goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You see, the devil doesn't give up on the child of God. The devil realizes that once a person has put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he no longer can hope of dragging that person down to hell with him, but he can seek to destroy his testimony. He can seek to cause him not to be that fruitful Christian. As those darts and arrows are thrown at him, he can cause him to become so discouraged that he says, "What's the use? Why continue? I might as well just quit." We think of everything that Joseph encountered as if being thrown into a pit and being sold as a slave was enough. That was just the beginning. You see, as we follow along, we realize that Joseph begun to have all kinds of struggles. But the wonderful thing is, when it came to that, that Joseph was able to be prepared. And his preparation was found in God. You know, it's interesting, we think of all of those who received blessings of the children of Jacob, that outside of Judah, the other recipient of the birthright blessings, as John Butler points out in his biography on Joseph, no other son of Jacob has as much said about him as Joseph in the blessing pronouncements. Why was it that Joseph was so blessed of the Lord regarding what his father had said to him? All that he chose to pour out upon him. You see, we realize that Joseph's life was a life of openness before God, a life of consistency before a holy and righteous Lord. We think of all the ways in which Joseph was tempted. Look with me, if you would, back in chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. As Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him as he was serving as an official of Potiphar, the Bible says in Genesis 39 and verse 9, "There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee." That's referring to Potiphar's wife, "because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Look over in chapter 40 and in verse 8. The butler and the baker of the king had both had dreams. And they were forlorn because they did not understand what those dreams were about. And so they said unto Joseph in Genesis 40 and verse 8, "We've dreamed a dream and there's no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Turn with me, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 41. As Joseph had interpreted the dreams, and they came to pass according to the interpretation that he had given, then Pharaoh had a dream, and he didn't understand it. And so then in Genesis chapter 41, we realize Joseph has now been summoned out of the prison in which he was cast unjustly. Joseph comes before Pharaoh and says in verse 16, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." We think also going forward to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. As Joseph has revealed himself to his brethren. There's a time of famine in the land. They've gone to Egypt. They're seeking physical sustenance and food. And Joseph comes to them, and in verse 4 of Genesis 45, he says unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." And now, spring forward to Genesis chapter 50. After Jacob had died, his brethren began to get nervous. And in Genesis 50 and verse 20, Joseph responds to their uncertainty by saying, "As for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." We think of the battle. We realize if you're going to serve God, there are going to be some arrows that are going to be thrown at you. Those arrows may come from family members. Those arrows may come from friends. Those arrows may come from other brothers and sisters in Christ. But what you've got to realize above all else is that my strength comes from God. And as you seek to walk with God, and as you seek to be in His Word, dwelling by that well, allowing God's strength to sustain you on a daily basis, then you will be able to go through whatever battle you may encounter and come out as gold on the other side. Now, Paul reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 12 that all those who are godly will suffer persecution. Realize there is a price to be paid, but it is well worth it. You think about enjoying not just the bow, not just the battle, and literally enjoying the battle because of the confidence that you have that God is with you, but then the blessings come. And enjoying those wonderful blessings. And this is what is so exciting about the Christian life. As he told him, he said, "You're going to have blessings from heaven above." That's God is going to pour down rain and provide for your crops. But he also says, "You're going to have blessings of the deep." We think of the water that would come up from the ground to be able to sustain the animals and the cattle that Joseph would have. The blessings of the womb, the children that would come forth of him. Of course, we realize the way in which God used Joseph and allowed him with his two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, to, between the two of them, enjoy more blessings than any of the other tribes, all because of God's sovereign hand upon a man by the name of Joseph. But you know, when we talk about being blessed of the Lord, we can acknowledge in our lives that God works through us and He will guide us and He will lead us. Which is why when we think here of the deliberate description that Jacob gives to Joseph, talking about him and realizing the way in which this was going to take place, that it is the shepherd, it is also the stone of Israel, which is why the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 80 and verse 1, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." We think of the stone of God in our lives and the foundation, the bedrock that He is for everything that you and I are to accomplish in our spiritual lives. Which is why Isaiah writes, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." You see, some of you here today are not enjoying the blessings of the Lord. You are not fruitful because you don't have the proper foundation. You don't understand who the Messiah is. And you see, it's not a matter that's open to everybody's private interpretation. It goes back to, what does God say about this matter? What does God say about the way to heaven? You know, sometimes when we have opportunities of witnessing to others, you'll find people who will come up with all kinds of different reasons why. Well, you know, you've got your idea and I've got mine and that's fine for you and I'll just do things my own way. But you see, there's only one tried cornerstone, and that's Jesus Christ. And He is the one who can give you that foundation to be able to withstand the battle, and at the same time to provide for you the great blessings in the future. But how were the blessings ultimately going to come to Joseph? Look at the very last description that Jacob gives at the end of verse 26. The Bible says, "And on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren." You see, when we talk about the Christian life, if you're going to be fruitful, if you're going to have the strength for the day of battle, if you're going to enjoy the blessings of the Lord, it requires you to be separated from this world unto God. And this is a message that is not being preached in the majority of our churches today. We don't like to talk about separation. We like to talk about blending in. We like to talk about just being in the crowd. But that's not what God desires for any of us. You see, we think in terms of the Old Testament and think of the Nazarite vow, the one who would be separated unto God from birth. We think of Joseph, a man who was physically separated from his brethren for decades before he was reunited with them. And yet all during that process, God was strengthening him and causing him to be the one who would provide the physical sustenance for the children of Israel as they came back, the land of Goshen, and were able to be physically sustained there for a number of years before following God's leading for them. Shall we talk about this matter of separation? Sometimes we don't like to reflect on that. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible makes it very clear that this matter of separation will directly impact the blessings of God, or the lack thereof, upon our lives. The Bible says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." You see, we are in this world, but not of this world. We think of being separated unto God. Joseph enjoyed blessings. Joseph certainly did not necessarily understand what God was doing when he was sold to those Ishmaelites and eventually sold unto Potiphar. Joseph did not understand what God was doing when God allowed him to first be thrown into a pit by his brothers and then be cast into prison by his boss. Didn't make any sense to him. But he never wavered in his faith and dependence upon God. And as a result, through that separation, God allowed him to be a far greater blessing than he ever would have been had he never been cast into that pit, never thrown, sold rather, to the Ishmaelites and eventually cast into the prison later on. I ask you today, is your life a fruitful one? You realize in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit did not indwell believers like he does today. He would come upon an individual for a specific purpose. But the Bible tells us that after you have been born into the family of God, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that you and I now ought to be every day manifesting to this world what a strong, Spirit-filled Christian life is all about. Can people look at your life and say, yes, I can see the Lord at work there. I can see that gentleness, that meekness, that faith, that temperance, that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and goodness. You see, can others look at your life from this last week and say, wow, he may have been shot at, but look at how he is sustaining himself by staying by the well. Do people look at your life spiritually and think you're on life support? Or do they look at your life spiritually and say, that's a fruitful Christian? That's one who is going over the wall. That's one who's truly abounding for the Lord. As we examine our lives this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will never be fruitful. Because you can take the best seed there is, but if it has no water and has no soil, it will never bear fruit. And you see, all of us have the same opportunity of being born into the family of God. But there are plenty here who may say, well, you know, not quite sure that's for me. This whole religion thing, I don't know where I fall in all of this. But you see, it's a personal decision to come drink of that living water. It's a personal decision that no one can make for you. You are the one who has to determine that. But then also, we think here of Joseph and all of his brothers. All of them came from the same home. All of them, at this point in time, lived in the same land. And yet, only one of the 12 is told he's going to be fruitful. What would God say of you today? Would he look at your life and say, that's a fruitful child of mine? That's one I'm going to bless. That's one that, yes, has separated himself or herself from the world and is desirous of truly keeping Christ first in everything. And as a result, I'm going to pour out my blessings upon them. You see, all of us can find comfort and encouragement in our effort to be Christians who are strong in the Lord. God has blessed FBT with many strong Christians. But let's remember that God wants us to be fruitful continually. The devil may be trying to discourage you. Others may be trying to stop you. But I admonish you, keep on in the strength of the Lord. And as you and I follow Joseph's example, we can all have strength for the fruitful. We can all see God pour out his abundant blessings on us, but the bottom line is the choice is up to you. Today, when we think of the message of the Word of God, you can be like Joseph. You have all that you need as found in the Word of God. If you are God's child, you are undoubtedly in a very difficult spiritual battle. But if you are depending upon God for your strength, then you can look forward to the blessings of the Lord. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed.